Yeah, right, but we're still on the same tab then.
Absolutely.
And Cindy is in charge of cemetery, so we got all the important people here.
One of the things that I would like to do this year, and we did put a budget $25,000 into capital outlay, is I have some information on a columbarium. It's a 48 niche area to store cremains permanently. So the information that I have, and I can pass this around, is I did get a quote from one company, and we don't intend to just get just one quote, but this just gets us started. And there are a lot of, I believe there are some items within this quote that we can reduce the cost of this item. And I'll just pass that around. And basically that would allow people to buy, however many of the niches that they needed, and we would charge based on what our costs were to do so, and then we would charge a ceiling fee based on what our costs are to do so. And we could recoup our money at some point, it just couldn't happen right away. So really what I did is I put the $25,000 in this year just to get us started. And hopefully it can happen. If it doesn't, I'm not, think I'm gonna just get, we have to find a place to put it. We have to find, we have to work on a rate structure for it. So there's a lot that we need to do to get there. So, and the cemetery, the revenues for the cemetery all come from lot sales and all come from burial fees. So you're pretty limited as how you can raise money for the cemetery unless it's a fund transfer from the general fund. And so I put in $50,000 this year to help reach some of the goals that we're working on. So there's also, it's also the third year of the contract with the current maintenance crew, which I bumped that fee up to $29,000. Hopefully we can get some more interest in people coming forward and wanting to be a part of the maintenance.
You can sit there, Mark.
Yeah. I'm not happy with the current crew and the response time, and the, you know, sometimes it's 10 days between when the cemetery is mowed, and with the lack of irrigation in there, those crazy weeds pop up on me all the time, and we treat the cemetery for weeds, but it can be mowed on a Monday and Tuesday, and by Saturday morning look horrible. So there, we need to get with a company that can probably get a little bit better response time. So I'll be putting that out to bid this fall. Before we do start the cemetery maintenance, there will be some serious discussions with the crew that's in there, and it's intolerable for this summer. So kind of where I'm going now.
Is there a crew that can provide that level of service?
I'm not sure who's out there.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure. It is a big job, and I'm not sure who's out there. So I'm hopeful. There are a lot of landscaping companies. There are a lot of lawn maintenance companies. I think they're all very busy. I think their rates are probably significant. So my hope is that I won't need to start paying this new company until starting for next spring. So that's why I kept the rates pretty much where they're at, except for adding a little bit of tree removals in there as well. So I don't know. I'm very hopeful that there's someone out there.
This is another department that is not a money maker for the city. It's another service that we provide, and we subsidize it through the general fund with regards to it. The rates we charge for what we charge for lot sales and things of that nature, I mean, don't cover our costs, come anywhere near it. So, and I think we, and I know we've done studies on a regular basis looking to see how we compare with, other facilities around us, and we're in the ballpark. I don't think there's a lot of room for us to increase rates or things of that nature.
So are other communities in the same situation where they subsidize their cemeteries?
I would think most of them are, yes. I don't know if there's any private ones that have a different model, but I don't know.
Do most cities have it contracted out like that?
I don't know that.
Because I've kind of sensed there's some issues about maybe with the company that does the mowing and what their responsibility is versus what maybe the DPW could do to help out. And,
okay.
You know, there's kind of a tug of war there.
If there is, I've not seen it. And that's unfortunate that you've seen it and I've not seen it. So I'm not sure what's going on. I know Rob and I work very well together, and he's always, it's kind of nice having someone new in there, and
right.
Working with Dennis was great as a cemetery sexton, but working with Rob, he's always got some new ideas. So that's kind of a surprise.
Well, I wouldn't say it's something I saw within the last year.
Okay.
He's relatively new. It wouldn't be. Well,
okay. All right.
It is a big job.
It is
so
a big job.
So your expectation would be that, so they cut the grass, and then if something comes, doesn't look good over the weekend, that they would come in and mow it again?
Well, how do you feel sometimes when you drive by and you see all those weeds sticking up? I mean, it's kind of, doesn't make you feel very good.
Yeah, or are you just reacting to a symptom rather than the problem, and that's somehow getting rid of the weeds?
We discuss that and treating them, and Andy has them treated, and he talks to the gentleman from Veritas about that, having those treated as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it doesn't make me feel very good to drive past there.
But it would be expensive too, to expect somebody to cut the grass.
It is very expensive, and then we would, the transfers would be huge.
Yeah, right.
It'd be very expensive. But so, and it, just speaking with Rob, he and I will be meeting again soon. We met together as part of this discussion, and I do have some ideas that I will be talking with Mike and Andy about. So, yeah, that might help a little bit.
Close any more of the entrances?
I don't intend to. I don't plan on it right now.
Okay.
I'm not seeing that it's become a problem with people driving from one side to another.
Fair enough.
No damage.
Are we talking about the Eleanor in the room?
Well, maybe, yeah. But I've heard from more than her.
With regards to traffic cut-throughs and stuff?
No, in regards to just overall, like you said, the weeds, the appearance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Eleanor has her list, but which is quite, we've been through that. So
yes, and we'll see by the end of April, you'll see several trees being taken out of there again, and then, you know, Rob and I have our list of things that need to come out, and we'll walk through it again once the snow is out of there.
Eleanor Stacks is very passionate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's her lifetime, and she's, throughout the years, has contacted each commissioner individually to campaign her thoughts, whatever.
So Sal and I should expect a call.
I was going to say, I haven't heard yet.
she hasn't bugged me either.
Oh, and you've been here a while.
Well, she wanted to close it entirely and lock it at a certain time of night and put hours on it.
Hmm.
And
what is her connection to it?
Stacker's Funeral Home.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I thought the name sounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that has been her life and still is a good part of her life. I mean, her family, her husband Jim, and her kids all grew up running the mm-hmm. funeral home business and just really super close connections to it. So mm-hmm. it's an important important thing mm-hmm. for her.
And she was the mayor, former mayor and city commissioner, but as a funeral director, she kind of just took care of the cemetery.
Yeah.
Whether it was her job or not. That's okay.
Well, so I think I met her when we had the reception here.
I think so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just old, too. You know, I mean, it's just a historic place. And
it's beautiful. I mean, all the trees and stuff. I mean, it's nice.
It's not going to look like a new place where you bury, nothing is above ground and you can easily mow it and do all that sort of stuff.
It's got a lot of character to it.
Yeah, sure.
It's not, and it's not just this flat place either.
Which is why it's harder to maintain.
Exactly. And I'm always in there picking up trash because of the schools, and things blow out of everybody's cars and blows in there, and then things blow out of people's cars and blows back in the school, so, yeah, so it's just...
And some of the issues last year you took care of, so, yeah.
And we're still working there, you know, yeah, Rob and I are working well together.
Yeah, no, and Cindy does a very good job at overseeing the cemetery, and I forget how many years you've been doing this now.
It'll be 13 years this summer.
Yeah, we've made significant improvements. I mean, the whole fencing around it, the closing of a number of the drives that we had in there. I mean, it isn't designed as efficiently as it should be, especially the new section closer to the west. I mean, I think that should have been probably laid out completely different with the ring road going around the perimeter, and that could have given us the ability to close some more gates or not have them in the first place and things of that nature, so.
But we're in.
Yeah, it is. It is what it is. We just have to manage it the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's, again, we have two cemeteries. We have the main cemetery over there at the intersection of Division and Boyne Avenue. And we also have the other smaller cemetery, what's called the Wilson Cemetery on Division Street, just off of, what is that?
First Street?
First or second?
Second.
But that one is historical at this point. We're not.
No, I don't even know. You know, we've had some discussions about having
that underground radar.
Yes, but
we don't know who's buried where.
I don't think it's worth the cost. I mean, it's still not going to tell us who's there. It's mm-hmm. just going to tell us that don't use it. So
it right. tells us where the open lots are.
There's no record keeping with regard to that one.
A little card file.
Okay. It's incomplete.
Right. And even in the older section of the cemetery, there are, where we think that there is an opening, we just don't sell because you don't know what's in there. We've actually had to, you probe and
use
you find
it, yeah.
a vault and, yeah. So.
Gene, all this time I thought a sexton was the grave digger, but it's not.
Well, we collect taxes too sometimes, so.
Death and taxes.
Here I am.
So any questions, anything else for the board on the cemetery, you think, Cindy, that they should know? Any questions with regards to the operations? Okay. Mark Fowler is here to talk to us about water, wastewater, so we'll flip over to tab 11, please. Mark, you want to walk us through?
Sure. All right. The first page there is our guys that are on the staff. We're getting them licensed. Have two guys taking exams in May here. Eric's going for his 3s level, and Dick is going for his 4s. So a couple of guys going to test and hopefully get their licenses. And then they can test again in the in November. So do some more testing then.
Is that an improvement? I heard there was some reluctance for them.
There was. Eric's testing. He got his application postmarked on the afternoon of the last day it could be in, but we got it there, so he's going to test his 3s and see if he can get them. So that's good.
Are they coming together as a staff?
They are. There's the two new guys. There's still some quirks we're working on, and then having to rely on Eric to locate stuff. Sometimes we get a little behind because the other two don't know where all the stuff is, and so we have to get caught up a few times in spots. But yeah, they're coming together. They're working well. So yeah, got Dennis working in the lab, and Dick's doing more of the mechanical stuff. He's more maintenance inclined and stuff. So
you'll see it printed as Derek. That's Dick.
Yeah, Derek. Yeah, he goes by Dick, but his name's Derek. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the Uber?
No, he's the guy from Australia.
Oh.
Dennis is the Uber.
Dennis is the Uber.
The young guy, the younger gentleman. Yeah. The recent graduate.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting people there, and there are only 3 of them.
Yeah. There. There.
And they'll tell you that as well, too, that there's only 3 of them, and they'll remind us that, oh, yeah, the state would like you to have, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 people or things of that nature. This is another one where, you know, I really want to see how this department gels and give the people a few years to see, how they work together and what all they are capable of doing. We hired both Dick and Dennis telling them that we wanted them to be the S2 operators. We didn't want them just to stay hiring at the, and stay at the lower level, that we have definite levels of progression that we want to see them in their water and wastewater licenses. And if they choose not to progress, we have the avenue to go back and say, well, that's not what we engaged you for. We want to make sure that we don't run into the same problem that we had with Gary and things like that, where they just, they get a little bit above of a trainee level and they never really progress much more beyond that. Gary had a lot of great institutional knowledge. He could find a valve pretty much anywhere in town or tell you what was there 20 years ago or something of that nature. But a lot of the technical skills he never
mastered.
Yeah, like in the lab or things of that nature.
So if Dick and Dennis achieve the level that you're hoping for, would that leave you adequately staffed?
Yeah, well, give me the additional licenses that we need. And right now, we're adequately staffed. I'm just trying to get them into a routine. There's some things we can do more efficient once these guys get trained. And so I think we're good for right now. I did put in the budget to have a summer intern in the summer to help catch up on some things. So we'll see where, you know, we should be able to get stuff. Because the wintertime is kind of slow. And so we really don't need more than three in the wintertime. In the summertime, it does help sometimes have that fourth person so you can get some extra things done. But not year-round.
One of the things that Mark and I really talked about the last couple of weeks is finally and completely finalizing our automated meter reading system. We've been dealing with this, you know, for years now, and if we made a mistake, it would have been when we first bought the system. We should have paid to have it installed at that time. Because there are real efficiencies for our people if they do not have to be going around reading meters on a quarterly basis around town. We've got a partial installation with regards to it, but we still have too many estimated meters where we don't know exactly what usage people have, and we're basically estimating their bills. And that is, some of those people I think are probably getting off well on that. And I think we're going to have to push to make sure that people, because we've asked them in the newsletters the last couple of years to say, you know, hey, get a meter and we'll change it out for you. Well, if they're on an estimated meter and they are reading and they think they're using more water,
they don't want to change.
Yeah, there's no reason to change or to conserve water or whatever it is. So Mark and I are talking about using that intern that he just mentioned to help one of the other staff person go around this summer and really push to get the meters replaced. And that'll basically get to the point where we'll ask people to do it, we'll call them up and schedule, and if they don't do it, we are legally able to shut off their water to compel them to do it. But we need to get those meters changed out.
Yeah, the first year I was here, we did get several hundred, and that's because on the one during the summer, the quarterly bills are, I had Michelle, we made a note and said, you know, we think our estimates are been too low. So we doubled the estimate. And I said, if we get your meter fixed, then we'll go back and correct it. And when they had a double bill, then they all called us and wanted an appointment. And we got a couple hundred meters installed right away in a couple months. So so I knew, had to use something to try to get, because you'd go, we've had it in the newsletter for, you know, a couple of years now, every time in the quarterly newsletter, please, if you're getting estimated bills, even on your bills, if it says estimate, please call us, we'll get you a new meter. And nobody, we're not getting any response back. So we have to use something.
Be more persuasive. Battery life on those meters, is the battery life improved for the newer models?
We don't have a lot of newer models because we still have the ones on the shelf from when the original purchase. Because they bought 500-600 of those meters, and we've got probably another 200 out there on the shelf. There's been a few that have failed, but most of them seem to be doing okay for right now. But yeah, they're probably getting close to their end of their lifetime.
So you'll have to get back into a lot of people's homes.
Replace
the batteries.
Probably 4 or 5 years, something.
I think ours has been in probably 7 or 8 years, and maybe longer. I'm not sure, but it's.
I think these all came about 2006, 2007. I think is when the list was out there. Mm-hmm. Rather than the majority of them. So.
Well, it's 10 years anyway.
Yeah. Have you had to have a battery change on yours yet, Ron?
No.
They're supposed to have it like
10. They're supposed to have a 20-year life, but I'm, you know, we'll see.
We've had some failures.
Black thing that's on the outside.
No, it's on top of the meter. The new Neptune radio reads have a meter head right inside, and there's nothing on the outside of your house. It's just right on top of the meter.
Oh.
A little antenna.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, well, you're looking at if there's a round dot on the outside, that was a touchpad.
Yeah.
Where people could go, and rather than having to manually enter the data
right.
into their meter reader, which is called an interrogator, they just bump up against it.
I see.
And they could get a reading. Matter of fact, you want to tell them about our interrogator?
Yeah, right now we have one interrogator. The other one has pretty much died. We're looking at a new one with the software is about $9,500 or something like that. And so we're looking at basically all the companies use the same kind of interrogator. So it's the software.
Interrogator?
It's the handheld radio read that they use that drives around and picks up the antenna signals. And reads it takes the meter head. Because the new meters have a little antenna on them, and as the guys drive by, it just sends a radio signal to the handheld, and it records the reading onto the little computer in the handheld. And so we had two of them, one has died, we need another one, about $9,500. So we're kind of exploring options to see, is that the best way to go? Right now, all the technology has it, you can put one in your house, and it'll send it via link up through, and come right to Michelle's desk, and nobody would even actually have to go out and read them. So we're probably going to go with the interrogator, though, for now, because we need that, and look in the future, because really, we get all this stuff 10 years ago, 2006, 2007. 10 years later, all the technology is even advanced even farther. So we're still trying to catch up a little bit, but we'll be coming to you with them.
So how many meters do we have or potentially have in town?
We got 15 to 1800 meters of reading.
That includes the water, just for water?
That's just for water, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm thinking about people that irrigate, they have
to... Yeah, they have another irrigation meter, so there's 260 irrigation meters in town as well.
In addition to the...
In addition to the other meters, yeah. Yeah, so right now we have three different types. We have the radio reads of Neptune, then we have the touch pads, and then we also have the old Badgers where they have the little display on the outside of the house where they still have to go get the reading. So we're trying to, right now, working on getting the estimated ones taken care of first, and then we'll work on replacing the old Badgers to get them the radio reads.
So what do you want to walk us through first?
Yeah. Right, one quick thing. And the batteries, that's the battery pack. Mike, can you look at it? Because we can't just buy a new battery pack because it's all sealed and gel. We have to actually buy a whole new meter head.
That's right, if you want.
With the reader on it. We can't just buy the battery.
So we're trying to see if there's an alternate way for us to do that.
Because if you look at Mike found the battery, exact one for $20 online, but you can't get it out of that gel to put it back in.
So I've gone over to the library to see if they could 3D image the covers for it. So, and whether it all makes sense. This is the interrogator. Again, for the radio reads, it has this unit. They can hand enter data. It's basically a handheld computer, which is what it is. So, and then we're looking to have to replace one of these, but we're also double checking to make sure that the system that we started switching to 10 years ago is still the most viable option for us, or whether it makes sense to contact Consumers Energy or somebody else to piggyback on their automated meter reading system if it could somehow interface with our utility reads. So we don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but since one of these with the software to support it runs about $10,000, we want to make sure that we investigate that before we bring a recommendation to the city commission. Thanks, Ron. Mm-hmm.
Have you included that in the budget? Huh?
Yes. Yes.
It does look remarkably like the first cell phone I ever had.
I know. It does. Yeah. But that was attached to a bag, right?
Yeah. Well, they had some of those ones that they called the brick.
Brick.
The
yeah.
Tech.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Looking here on the first page, you have the revenues.
You're talking about the wastewater.
Yeah, wastewater. Yep. Wastewater basically goes down, carrying forward balance, the delinquent tax roll. Grants, this $494,000 grant, that is for the Boyne Mountain sewer that they're installing in the spring. And the SAW grant, the $257,000, that's for the SAW grant. They've started doing some of the sewer televising. I got some of the first videos today for that. So they've started on that, televising the sewers. wastewater user fees, that's basically the fees we collect for using, we take the water meter readings, and that's how we calculate the wastewater we assume when it comes through their water meter into their house, goes down their drain, so that's how it's calculated. Penalties, late fees, you know, 8,000 tap-in fees, new connections to the sewer, that's what that is, 10,000.
Why is that so much higher this year than?
Because I kind of was looking around, and I know what's out there. I know some of the projects, talking to the contractors, what's being built. I know the Habitat for Humanity's building those two houses up there. So there'll be two tap-in fees there. There's a couple on Northeast Street that are going to be tapping in. So I've kind of estimated where I know where some of the new taps are coming in from springtime.
Is this taking the West Michigan project too?
It does not. That is under, that's going to be under a special assessment.
Well, that's
the water. That'll be on the water side. Okay. Yeah. That's right. And then the SRF won't pay from 1 month. Still part of that. Any clarifications on any of these things, guys? You know, the grants is the Boyne Mountain Forest Bank, or user fees tap in. And then our reimbursement from Boyne Mountain. Expenditures. Salaries and wages, of course, is one of the highest line item. And there I did budget in for summer help for 3 months this summer in there. That's paying $10 an hour like our other summer help wages. Somebody help us out there. Overtime. Safety, insurance, that's another big one. And pension is $30,000. That's kind of from what we had just because of catching up with the murder stuff, pension stuff. Vacation and sick time, it's gone down a little bit because we have newer guys that don't have as much vacation accrued. Supplies and lab, general supplies, repairs and maintenance, $60,000. That's for any repairs to any of the wastewater stuff, the pump stations that are at the plant. That's the fuel we've been using. Gas and oil, utilities, $130,000. And we'll probably be a little bit under that this year, but okay, because the rate's probably going to go up a little bit. Chemicals, that's for our ferric chloride that we use to remove phosphorus at the plant. And then legal fees, all that washing stuff. Next page, environmental service fees, are 809 up there. That's for our lab testing. That's when we have to send out samples. Quarterly, we have to send out samples to a lab in Traverse City that they call it a acute toxicity. What they do is we take 2 gallons of our effluent, put it down there, and they for 48 hours and 96 hours, they track minnows, see if they live or die in it. And so they always live, so we're good. We'll do that quarterly. Engineering is part of the, their 40,000 that's gonna be coming for this. We have a street project coming up this summer. You'll see that farther down, sewer line construction. Basically motor pool, vehicle expense. Everything's pretty normal. Workers' comp. Appreciation capital outlay, $100,000. That is for the sewer line on Cedar Street. That's where that private engineering is coming in. We're going to redo Cedar Street, so I have water and sewer line replacement there. Our SAW grants, and like I said, they're already televising the sewers right now, so that'll be there.
So what will that tell you?
I've noticed the one I just looked at today on Cedar Street. I got to send the guys out. There's one section that has some little roots. Starting to protrude through the cracks, so we need to clear that out. And one spot says there's some gravel, and it's like 3/4 full of gravel at one end, so we're going to have to try to blow some of that out and get that so it's not, the water can flow through there better. And then this one actually, this portion is going to be replaced this summer anyway. So. Yeah, because they're going to be televising all the older lines in town, so that helps us.
Do you know where all the older lines are?
Yeah, Larry Fox has them mapped out. Anything older than 20 years, he has it on his some prints over there. Mm-hmm. And that's who he's directing the guys for the software, which lines to look at. Then the sewer line construction here, $494,000, that is for the Boyne Mountain, finishing up that 10-inch line coming into town. That's our principal and interest, that's from our loan. Line item clarifications, and this kind of explains where our supplies are for repairs and maintenance. For anything at the wastewater plant, collection system, pumps, and pump stations. Chemicals is for ferric chloride. It does say other chemicals used are chlorine, hydrogen chloride. Not really, sometimes we have to buy potassium permanganate instead. That's what we're using down at the main lift station to put a little bit in because of the help with the odors there from Somerset. Because we occasionally in the summer get a whiff coming out of the manhole there. And it's because mainly because that line is so long and there's not enough flow. That line is designed to take 52,000 gallons a day. And right now, in the wintertime, they're only between 600 and 700 gallons a day. And in the summer, they're even only 3,000 or 4,000. So that wastewater is sitting there a long time before it gets to the plant or the main pump station on Peninsula Beach. And so we add potassium permanganate, which is an oxidizer to help freshen it up and try to eliminate some of those odors.
Do you want to, as long as you're kind of hitting on that topic, do you want to talk about any of the latest updates of what we're hearing going on out there?
As Somerset?
Yeah.
We're still waiting to actually get the final closure on this because we still haven't signed off on the pump station and the sewer system. And part of it is they need it's a 5-year guarantee bond, but they've actually only been able to get a 1-year because they said the surety bonds won't go for 5 years, so they have to give us a 1-year, and with an agreement saying that they'll renew it each year for 5 years. But currently they're on hold because Fred actually has brought in partners, so he doesn't actually own all of Somerset now. He's finalizing a deal with partners to help him fund and finance the continued growth of Somerset. So we're waiting to see how that shakes out, what happens there, who his new partners are, and all the details. I'm supposed to know here, I guess, probably another couple weeks. It should be finalized.
So they're planning to do a lot more building?
I believe so, yes. They want to actually, their building plan is to build more condos across the street by the health center. They want to tie the health center to the sewer, the condos. But they also have some issues with their water system. The DEQ hasn't approved all their water. They put in new wells, but they don't have everything hooked up and set for that yet. So that's kind of their holdup as well, the water side.
Now, when they complete that contract, there was $500,000, okay?
Yes.
Which goes into our sinking fund or our general fund.
No.
Right. It goes into the fund for the wastewater department. Right. It doesn't go into this.
No,
it's for future equipment replacement.
Right.
For that system?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, just that it's the general account, isn't it?
It goes in the general account, but the idea is to make sure we have the money to replace equipment on that system.
Yeah, pumps and lines and stuff.
So I didn't see in this report the fund balance. Maybe I guess it was in another section.
These accounts are, can we talk about how these are treated differently? Dean's asking about a fund balance for water and wastewater.
Sure.
These are enterprise funds. They're separate. They have to be.
Right, I know.
But they're not really a cash fund balance at the end of the year left over, because the enterprise funds considers assets as well. So you're going to have a net assets rather than a fund balance.
Mm-hmm. And in our audit report, that would have been reflected.
Yes.
So I guess what I was getting at, that you're building each year funds in anticipation of making more substantial investments when something.
Correct.
Right. Yes.
Because you're going to look in here and you're going to see this astronomical number and you go, wow. But that includes the assets.
It includes the assets. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not all cash.
No.
Not all cash.
Yeah, it's like on the fees that putting in for the fee schedule to raise water and sewer rates 3%. And that's to help offset the cost. You know, we're putting in new sewer line and water lines on Cedar Street this year. And next couple of years, there's going to be additional lines that are being done. It's a version of Silver Street in our capital improvement plan and Terra Street. So we need to start. That's what that 3% fee is, to help fund those, replace those sewer and water lines.
So the water system and the wastewater system are probably the closest that we have of funds that actually operate as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So they're treated differently than a lot of the other accounts that we have. Even, and I've probably been saying it imprecisely, calling them all enterprise funds, like the fire, and they have their own fund, and they generate their own revenues in addition to what we provide from the general fund. These are specifically tracked much more like business accounts. It's two different types of accounting, so these look a little different.
Yeah, because by the law, the water and wastewater funds are supposed to be self-funding, self-sufficient. So.
Right.
And Cedar Street and Terra Street residents will not be assessed master millage because it's replacement and repair.
Correct. Repair is
not new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's generally the way that we apply things. I mean, there isn't any specific policy with regards to it, but once the practice has been, once, and it's common throughout communities all across the state, is once they put something in, whether it's water or sewer or something of that nature, pretty much everything other than sidewalks, once they put it in, then the city picks up the maintenance of it.
But the 3% raise is for everybody.
Correct, yes.
I mean, I
because it operates as a system. Because
yeah.
Ultimately, at some point, my turn will come for the
sewer line
in front of my house or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there a method that you use to estimate future investment costs?
Yeah, we've got the, I've got some information. There was a reliability study and stuff that C2AE did for us, and it talks about the water and the wastewater lines, the PACER schedule or, that he does for the highways and stuff, and he's got all the underground utilities in that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We've got some numbers estimated from Larry and some which ones need it and when.
And the fee schedule that's designed to make sure there's enough money for that.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, because there's other municipalities kind of struggling. They have a replacement, and some they're underfunded. And when you're underfunded, also, that eliminates you from getting grants because you're not, Sheboygan just raised their rates, and a friend of mine, he's a superintendent up there, and they're raising their rates because they had been applying for grants, but they were denied because they were told, hey, you guys aren't charging enough funds to run your system anyway, so we're not going to give you grants to replace stuff. So they had to raise their rates. They're in the process of doing that right now.
So basically the state's saying, if you're not going to help yourself, no, we're not going to help you either or bail you out.
That's right.
You'd have to pull your fair share.
Yep. So we're looking at that. So, okay.
Ironic that the state tells us that.
Right.
Have you driven down M-75 lately?
Yeah.
There's a place in your audit, there's a page that talks about in those funds, and it tells you what your net cash is. That's probably the closest.
What page is that?
It's going to be page 37. That's going to be the closest to your fund balance.
So how is our system work anyway? Is it good?
Yeah, I think it is. It's pretty good. I'm looking at the stuff in the paperwork and the schedule stuff I've seen from Larry and everything. 90% of the system has been replaced in the last 20 years. It's PVC. Only 9% of your lines are still transite, and so those
and
will be the
part of that is Cedar.
Yes, Cedar
Terrace,
portion of Silver Street, small portion of Lake Street here. I'd have to look at the map, but yeah, we have it all mapped out where everything is and what all the materials are.
So would the idea be to get all that taken care of?
That would be, those are the next areas, yes, that we're working on. And probably, we're going to probably be forced to even work on those. Those are the older ones we want to get rid of, but with the new lead and copper rules, anything that has a lead gooseneck is now considered a lead line, service line. So those will have to be phased out over time. Before it used to be just if it's a service line, the whole line was lead. Well, now it's if it's a lead gooseneck or if it's a galvanized line that had been attached to lead, then those are all considered lead service lines. They're changing the definition. So
that would be more than the 9%?
That would be just the 9% that we would have to do that are translated. Because most of those, they don't all have lead goosenecks because I've seen some of the translated, they're just strictly galvanized. But those are, if you don't know, you have to kind of say that it's. Suppose that it's
but in the rest of the 90%, that's all clean. And
yeah, that yeah, because when they went to plastic, they used copper. So, yeah, so that's all taken care of.
So, what I find ironic is they're talking about the lead and copper rules, but they're all focused on the lead.
I know.
And the one of the things that we've gone to that supposedly solves the problem is copper. Is there a problem coming with copper down the line?
I don't. It would probably be a much higher concentration to have to worry about copper, but it is potential in the future. Who knows what they're going to find, Just like now with on the wastewater side, now we're having to deal with PFAS, the polyfluoroalkyl stuff they found in that firefighting foam, because it's also in Teflon, on your nonstick Teflon, so it's showing up in the wastewater and drinking water. It's in Scotchgard, so all that stuff has it. It's even in the McDonald's wrappers, because that's why you don't get grease on your hands from their burgers, because it has that PFAS stuff in it. So, they're buying them. So, who knows what copper you're going to find next? But yeah, they keep buying.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, every solution has its new set of problems.
Yes.
I'm looking at, you know, once they look to replace copper, then they're going to want to go to PEX, that plastic pipe, and I'm sure there'll be some problem with that, so.
Yeah.
So just drink out of the lake.
We'll be dead by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But very well preserved and and no stains.
Yeah.
No grease.
Yeah.
All right. On the water, any other questions on the wastewater side? Water department, water user fee.
Oh, I did one. Do you know how many people in the city are on a septic?
I do not.
Well, let's hit on that real quick, because there are some rules supposedly being considered for with regards to having your septic checked or cleaned or something like that. Do you want to touch bases on that?
Yes, Mark? There's the new regulations that are out there. Well, it's not regulations yet. It's a proposal that is being proposed for to become new regulations, and it deals with septic tanks, having the fact that they'll have to be inspected every 10 years. And when you get inspected, you know, you have to have a pump, to have your drain field assessed. And then if you're selling it, or if there's a whole bunch of different new regulations. If it's an on-site, if it's not a conventional wastewater or septic tank, you know, some of
like an elevated system
or whatever, those are going to have to be every 5 years, be inspected, go through all this process. And basically what it is, because every time you have one of these inspections, you have to send the state $25 fee saying that it was administratively, so they're done. So I think it's just another way for the state to get a fee, because they want to make it mandatory inspections, mandatory pump outs, and then each time those are done, then you have to send a piece of paper saying it's done with a $25 processing fee to the state. So, but they're working on it.
Wasn't there a local effort to try to get communities to time of sale?
They are, but this new regulation would wipe that out.
Is
that
right
now, it's still just a couple of congressmen talking about it, so it hasn't been
state
pushed. State level hasn't pushed yet into committee or anything yet, so, but they're just still talking about it, proposing it. They've sent out some draft comments.
But theoretically, that's a good thing, because you're going to have better control over over septic systems, but it's just another one more government.
If they set a proper timeline, I mean, even 10 years to me seems awful frequent for a septic tank treatment.
It is. It depends on your use, Because we had a septic tank went 15 years, we had it pumped and it was pretty good, but then we had foster kids for 4 years, and then we had to get it pumped out, and then when they left, because it was so full, it depends on how many people are there, or what you're using,
Or even how good your system is.
Yeah.
Are you still a foster parent?
No, we're not.
So I think the formula is every 10 years when they're kids, and then when they're teenagers, monthly?
Monthly. All right. Page 1110. Water revenues. Got the water user fees, same basic stuff, penalties, charges, fire-in fees, tap-in fees. $15,000 proposed. That's probably actually a little bit light, because we'll probably, because there's at least 10 or 12 over here on this new West Michigan, and they're going to be tapping in, so yes. And then the special assessment there is $311,000 for installing the water service.
Is that C2's final bid or projection? Is it 311?
Yeah, that reflects their most current estimate.
Yeah.
And that is out for bid right now.
Yeah. And then just kind of clarifies water user fees, penalties, tap-ins. Okay, expenditures. And the salaries, the same thing. And there's money in there to split the intern between water and wastewater. Same with overtime, general stuff, medical, social security, pension, vacation time, supplies and materials, meters. Repairs and maintenance, $55,000. See if it could go up a little bit from 45 to 55. I increased a little bit this year because we're working on getting that generator we took out of the DPW garage hooked up at well number 5, so that we'll have backup power up there instead of having a portable up there. We'll have that. So that's part of that, maintenance. Utilities, same. Chemicals, $12,000. That's for chlorine or hypochlorite and fluoride that we had in our water. Environmental fees, that bumped up a little bit because I wasn't sure how many more additional lead samples we'd have to do, like based on doing an additional doubling our lead sampling. That's why it went up $1,000 for the environmental service fees for water. Engineering. Motor pool, vehicle maintenance, let's see. Workers' comp, appreciation. Capital outlay, $165,000, that's for the estimate on Cedar Street for the water. West Michigan water line, $311,000. Revolving fund principal and interest there.
Mark, we've talked a little bit about the mechanic, you know, vehicle maintenance. So, like, you have $7,000. So, when your trucks need maintenance, how do you handle that?
We used to take them down here to Bob Mather's. He does the maintenance on them. And some of this is for the reason this one, you know, it says $7,000. This is what it's going to end up because the budget's over this year, and that's because of the Vactor truck. We've had to call in West Michigan truck several times to work on that Vactor truck.
Isn't that relatively new?
No, the Vactor truck is, I think it's a 2006, 2005. They bought it used when they bought it.
Old. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it was fresher too. Yeah. It seems like we're just getting it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was bought used when we bought it. So, so that is in the budget for the next couple of years.
And it isn't the truck mechanism itself that's been giving the problem. It's been the actual sucking component of it, the Vactor portion of it. So that kind of requires more specialized skill sets on it too.
Yeah, that and the compressor, because it can get the pressure for the air brakes. Won't go above 30, then the truck won't move. So had to replace some parts on that as well.
Is it working pretty well now?
It is. They had a little bit of difficulty the other day when they went out, but then they operated the next day and it worked fine. It's one of those, sometimes it's intermittent, so.
Much like us.
Yeah.
We're intermittent.
These are the characters. Any questions on any of these?
So when you empty the Vactor truck, you just put it in the lagoon?
No, it's at the back of the lagoon in the sand. We dump it all right there in the sand and let it seep in. The dirt's there, all there. Most of the time when we're using that Vactor truck, it's mainly sucking out dirt because we're using it to get down to the pipes so we can see. It's mostly water and dirt that's in there because we're using it to go down alongside the valves, boxes, and stuff. It's not really actually sucking a lot of sewage out. It's mostly dirt and water so we get to the sewer lines. Rather than trying to dig in with the backhoe, this helps us find it, locate it without having to rip something out. So we use it mostly for.
I'm good.
Okay. Other questions?
No. Keep that running flowing.
Yes.
So the next winter will be totally on top of hydrants?
Yes. Yep. Yep. And that was my error. We didn't flush hydrants this last summer because we were short-handed people. And so I assumed that we didn't flush them. The barrels shouldn't have had water in them. But some of them leaked by, and that's why there was water in them and they froze. So, but yeah, they didn't. I assumed if we didn't use them, there's no water in there because they didn't winterize the year before. And that's so. That's what happened.
And how many hydrants do we have?
We have 270. Wow. But there's only about 100 that are, I guess they painted blue, that need to be flushed if they operate or drained out. So
they're not self-draining ones?
Yeah, not self-draining ones.
Is that something is it worth repairing or not, or changing over?
I don't know. I'll have to look at that and see what we got.
When you say changing over to what?
To self-draining.
We can't go to self-draining, can you?
No.
Isn't the new standard, though?
The new standard, you can't do that. Because they figured if you could drain it, then water could actually maybe come in, groundwater could come into your system. But
that's not true.
Well, I know. I know.
Yeah, because that was my thought, too, is I thought, okay, it's the older ones that are causing us the problems. And he explained it to me, and no, it's the newer ones because of the regulations that say that we can't use the self-draining hydrants anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the backflow.
Yeah.
Contamination concern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did too.
As much as it's pressurized, I don't think the water's going to go back into it, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Anything else you think we need to know, Mark, or should know, or should be watching out for?
Nope.
there'll be some new things we may have to monitor when they going to go to a seminar next week on this new on the PFAS stuff, because that's their new hot ticket item. They're testing all the drinking water systems in the state, starting with the larger ones and working their way down. It's a because of the testing protocol and stuff, there's actually, they've contracted, there's only a few labs in the country that can test it. One's in California, that's the one they contracted with. So it's costing the state $500 a sample for every well they sample. And so we'll be trying to see what the effect is of that when they get done. So.
And we're really watching closely what they're doing with these, the lead and copper regulations. Do you want to explain how they set the standard?
Yeah, they, pretty much they're dropping the level from 15 to 10, and they basically want to be, a lot of the stuff they're doing is trying to get ahead of the EPA. The EPA is coming up with new rules this summer anyways, but Michigan wants to be the leader, so they're putting all this stuff in place, and but it's going to already face a lot of lawsuits. There's already in the comments that are going into them. I was just reading some today, and, you know, you can't use public money to replace service lines because they're proposing that the municipalities replace everybody's service line into their basement. And so there's already facing potential lawsuits on that portion because you can't use public money for private property. They went to 10 just because it wasn't science-based, 10 parts per million instead of 15 on their...
What did the staff recommend?
Staff recommended keeping the DEQ staff recommended keeping it at 15 parts per million, but the they were overruled and said, no, we're going to make it 10 so that way it looks like we're proactive in doing something, even though there was no sound scientific basis for changing it. So there's still a lot of up in the air stuff out there. They keep pushing forward, but pretty much most of the work groups in the state, in my industry, and the Municipal Municipal League, Township Associations, they're all opposed to it, and they're sending them comments saying, hey, you know, wait till the EPA comes out and make sure that we're cost-risk analysis is done, cost-benefit analysis done correctly. You guys just want to be the leaders, but you may not be doing the right thing. So
our data-driven governor is not using data. He's other than political data, my impression.
Yeah.
He's trying to make up for what he did in Flint, or had his surrogates do. Right, not getting further behind. Okay, anything else? Okay, very good. Thanks, Mark.
Barb was, I texted her.
Okay. Does anybody need a break for a couple minutes and then go charge at it?